Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch, the show for fans, by fans, about fans. I am Mags, and today's guest is one of the comedians of the Five Nerds podcast. He's the resident foreigner of the podcast. You have to, when you have a stable, you have to have one like foreign body in there, and unfortunately for my guest, he's the Five Nerds foreigner, the one and only Deck. Deck, how are you today?
I'm grand. Flying. Cool. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Excited to hear how you got into this stupid world of people pretending to fart wearing underpants.
It is a stupid world, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at wrestling objectively, there should be no way anyone should be able to enjoy it. It's just two people pretending to have a fart.
Yeah, but it literally has something for everyone. Like, yeah, every show, especially independent shows, always have something for someone.
Yeah. So let's get straight into it. Go with the first question I always roll with. What was your first kind of experience or your first memory of this world of professional wrestling?
Probably watching it on... Would it be on, I think it was Sky, really early Sky, and just getting Sky in our flat that we used to live in when I was younger. It was a big thing back then, like, and mm-hmm. watching it on Saturday night with me mother and father. And that was it, and just seeing the larger-than-life people, like Hulk Hogan, and back then it would have been Andre the Giant, people like that, and then... Obviously, as I grew, wrestling grew and grew and grew and grew, and you had even bigger people like the Ultimate Warrior and Randy Savage, and then Steve Austin's and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you've travelled through like lots and lots of different like eras of wrestling, and which would you say is the era that you was the biggest wrestling fan?
I had to be the Attitude Era because I was kind of at that, like in my teens, so with the likes of Steve Austin and stuff like that, like mm-hmm. they just kind of spoke to that kind of generation of people.
Yeah, they were. It was a big shift in kind of the demographic that WWF were going for. Before that, it was obviously the little kids and the larger than life characters, the bright colors and stuff like that. And then after that, it was the teenagers and the young males who were they were going
through puberty.
Exactly. It's interesting. You watch WWE actually grow as a company. Like they kind of grew with you. If you were a fan in the late '80s, like going into the early '90s, it literally grew as you grew.
Yeah, well, the first big event I kind of remember is Hogan against the Royal Rumble beforehand, Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. The whole build up where Hogan, the two of them had the double clothesline, and then the WrestleMania came along and it was champion versus champion and nobody knew who was going to win. But then when the Warrior won, it was just the biggest thing ever for me anyway, because I was a huge Ultimate Warrior fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a big thing. Like,
it's all, Warrior was obviously one of your wrestling heroes, but who were like the other wrestlers around that time that a young Declan gravitated towards?
Macho Man, just because he was a high flyer. I'd never kind of seen anything like, back then there wasn't really anyone like that. Like his elbow off the top rope, all that kind of stuff. And then when the Rockers came along, that was just, that blew everyone's mind because they were doing stuff that I'd never seen. And then obviously the first what the fuck moment I had was Shawn Michaels kicking Janae through the window. Like,
yeah.
I remember it's watching that live and my mother going, what the hell did he just do that for? Like, everyone believed in it. That's the thing. Like, growing up back in the 80s, like, everyone was so into it. They didn't care that it was fake.
And I think that's what one of the things that social media has kind of taken away from us, the fact that we know so much about what happens backstage that we all think that we're smarks almost, where we know too much about wrestling and we don't just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, it was like kind of gaming in a way, like those rumors. Well, if you did this in a game, like, she'd take her top off or something like that. Like, in wrestling, it was like, oh, sure, he was sleeping with her and they were taking drugs and stuff, but you never knew. But it was always rumors, even like in Ireland, like, we were backwards back then, and there was still rumors of like what was going on behind the scenes and stuff. That's how huge wrestling was, still is.
So, in all the time that you've been a wrestling fan, has there ever been a time where you kind of was getting bored of it, or you fell out of love with wrestling, or it just wasn't kind of like appealing to you anymore? Have you had any like periods where you just didn't enjoy wrestling?
Yeah, kind of 18, 19, when you kind of find girls and drink. You kind of, that's on the back burner for years, and then, Jesus, when I started doing e-fedding, I kind of got back into it. And obviously the podcast, I had to start watching it again so I could actually talk.
The podcast forced you to enjoy wrestling again.
It was like, oh, no, we shouldn't talk about wrestling every week, but then we ended up doing it, so then I just started watching it again, and then like watching, because with more access to indies and stuff like that, I was able to watch all that kind of stuff, and it reminded me of the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era. Just not so much 80s. No one really kind of does the 80s era wrestling anymore.
Yeah. So if you think of all the time that you've been a fan, what would you say is the one show that you would call your favourite? One kind of pay-per-view that you could throw on at any time and you know that you're going to enjoy it?
First One Night Stand. Just for the whole atmosphere. That was just amazing.
Yeah, it was so good. When Cena was throwing his T-shirt into the crowd and they just kept throwing it back.
Yeah, I was just... The crowd were always mental for ECW shows, but just that show was just off the hook, as the kids say.
So you're heavily into the independent scene. You've been to Progress quite a few times, even crossing crossing the waters to the foreign lands of Britain to go and watch it. But you also watch OTT a lot, which is obviously the biggest promotion over there in Ireland. What attracted you to OTT, and what's the atmosphere for you like in an OTT show? What kind of makes you gravitate towards it?
It was doing the podcast and then watching just YouTube videos and then realizing, Jesus, this is actually not up the road. Like, it's actually the stadium where they have their big shows. I grew up around the corner from it. It's the National Boxing Arena. Like, so kind of grabbing one of my friends and saying, we went to, was it Slammer? No. One of their big shows, like their biggest show of the summer. And we went to that and it was just amazing. Like, the 2,500 people, and everyone could see because the way the arena is set out, and the show was just amazing. Like, and seeing, I think Jeff Cobb for Ishii and Suzuki was there, and just seeing all these people, I seen in New Japan as well. It was just amazing. Like I said, the crowd are always mad at OTT shows, but when it's a big crowd, they kind of get really into it. And if you're shy, they tell you you're shy. And if they're enjoying the match, they really enjoy it. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like you said, it's almost like an ECW kind of crowd where they're rabid for the wrestling.
Yeah, especially when they were in the Tivoli Theatre. Like, that was closed down by the time I got into it, but watching the old shows and streaming, like they're right beside the ring. It was so close and so small. It was like the ECW arena. Like, it was just mayhem. Like, and the noise of the crowd, and everyone was just there to watch the show, and there was no kind of piss taking or any of this kind of stuff. It was just fans and wrestling. That was it.
Wowie Watch is proud to be working with Powerslam.tv. You can use our code MAGS to get yourself a 30-day free trial and watch up to 4,000 hours of quality independent wrestling content. Just make sure you sign up with your laptop for the code to work, and then after that you can download the Android app or the App Store app and watch this amazing content from powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
So what current other wrestling products are you watching? Obviously, there's a big feud with AEW and NXT. Are you involved in watching that, or do you still watch the main roster products? What other kind of wrestling do you like to watch?
Well, I haven't watched any over lockdown, but I usually watch like OTT streaming service. I like DDT wrestling. I just think that's just the most bizarre stuff I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And obviously New Japan. I don't really watch WWE that much. Like, only if I hear of a good match, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
But that product doesn't interest me much anymore.
So what about AEW, then, the kind of new cats on the block?
No, I haven't watched that either.
Just not interested in it?
No, not really. Like, I don't think they're doing anything that's what they kind of said they were going to do.
Yeah, really. The whole change the wrestling world, that idea.
No, they haven't done that. I don't think that's doable. If no. They want television, like, they have to still conform to a certain product. Like, they can't just go all out indie bizarreness and flippity shows. Like, that has to be a certain way.
So
they do all that kind of stuff, but they still have to. Like, it took them a while to even start feuds and stuff. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I think one of my big issues with AEW is it's almost like everything's built to a dream match rather than kind of building a storyline. And they give away so many dream matches on the weekly show that there's kind of not a lot of point of watching the pay-per-views. I mean, the whole point of the weekly shows is to build to a pay-per-view, but if your weekly show is putting on banger of matches, is there any point in shelling out like $40 or £20 or whatever it is to buy a pay-per-view?
Like, there's no longevity in doing that. Like, obviously indie shows can do it because they have a show once a month, twice a month if they're lucky, so they can do like small bit of storyline and then loads of dream matches. But if you're on national television every week, you just can't. Like, it's not sustainable at all. Yeah. Like, and not pushing Kenny Omega straight away was just bizarre. I know he wanted to be seen as like not getting the title because like he part owns or whatever the fuck, the whole lot of them have executive producer or whatever. But like, he was the hottest star in the world. He left New Japan to go there, and then they had him in fucking tag matches.
Yeah. I think his whole idea was setting up a prominent women's division, which kind of has fallen flat because the women are very rarely on the show.
Yeah, like even to give it to your woman, what was her, Nayla Rose, is that her name?
Oh, Nayla Rose.
Yeah. She's like, oh, the first transgender woman to win and all, that's great and all, but then she gets beaten, like, the next pay-per-view, like, just, like, there's no build-up to anything.
Yeah.
I don't think they know how to.
I think a lot of it is the kind of like era we're living in with the likes of social media. Everybody knows what's going on within in an instant, and we as fans want gratification almost straight away. Like, we want our favourite to be champion now, and then once we've got that, we don't want it anymore. We want something else.
Yeah, that's as I say. And 5 years ago, wrestling fans are the worst. Wrestling Twitter is the worst fandom ever. Like,
yeah,
that's saying something.
Yeah, it can get so toxic on Wrestling Twitter, and I like your approach to Wrestling Twitter, where you have absolutely no filter. You just say whatever comes out on your mind, and woe betide it.
Like, what do you do? Cancel me? Like, who am I? For fuck's sake, like, it's not gonna do anything to my private life. Like, I know one of my family that's on Twitter. What did I mean? Like, it's not a big thing. Like, it's Twitter. It's online. It's ridiculous. Like, that people get so caught up in it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That movement thing. Like, it started off great, and then all of a sudden, everyone just piled on, and then it just went to shit, and then you don't hear anything about it.
Yeah, it kind of leads into that instant gratification thing, where it's almost like it's today's news is tomorrow's chip papers, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like, and then people using it for their own gain. Oh, well, he was mean to me at a merch table, so fuck him off.
Yeah,
like,
that can't. That
all the time. Like, it's not like he touched you or fucking raped you or groomed you. He just told you to fuck off. Like,
yeah. I mean, that those kind of claims do dilute the message. But I think all in all, the idea behind the speaking out movement is a good thing. Obviously, being a Brit Rest fan, you will have known about like how dark the core of British wrestling has kind of been shown to be with the amount of wrestlers who have been named, and the kind of the abuse that they've given these female wrestlers and fans. What were your thoughts when you first heard like some of these big name British wrestlers?
It was crazy, because like obviously we have the Five Nerds Go Facebook chatting, and it's just Mac just going, oh, there's another name, there's another name, there's another, and then you go on to Twitter, and then you just see all this kind of stuff. Like, it wasn't even British wrestlers, like Irish wrestlers as well, and like the whole dynamic of OTT now, like obviously their world champion is gone, their NLW champion was named as well, and you haven't stripped him yet, but is that going to happen? Like, Jordan Devlin was their biggest star, well, he already left because David Starr beat him, but like, was he ever going to come back? And now he can't. Like, it's the whole, there's other wrestlers as well, like up the north, a whole wrestling organization up the north was called out for being toxic, and one of the male wrestlers DMing like the younger male wrestlers dick pics and stuff. Like, yeah. Oh, it's great. Like, the whole scene is just changed now. Like, I don't know what the shows are going to be like or who's even going to be on them. Like, Mark Haskins, just give him everything. Like, he's the only decent one out of the lot.
Yes, yeah, and Dan Maloney.
Yeah, that's it. Like, just like, every big star except for, say, Pete Dunne that has made something is now gone. Yeah, cancelled, whatever they call it.
I mean, even the likes of Travis Banks, Marty Scurll even got mentioned. Yeah, it's just weird that this kind of like this core of horrific people in wrestling, and it's stretched over. I mean, obviously we knew about what happened in like the '70s and the '80s. It was kind of very much a boys club. And it's obviously carried on. But now with the likes of Twitter and Facebook, these people have been outed. Do you think this will lead to a better wrestling product and a safer wrestling product?
That's a horrible question to ask. Yes, it's going to be shit because all these good people are gone.
No, but I mean in terms of wrestlers well, not even so much quality, just female wrestlers knowing that they've got a safe place to train and to wrestle rather than
That's a great thing, and the way it should be as well, that they shouldn't have people 14, 15 training how to be wrestlers. Mm-hmm. That is just weird. Like, there's no, obviously people are going to take advantage of that. Like, wrestling's the same as every other job or sport. Like, there's always going to be creeps and fucking pedophiles, and people want to take advantage of younger people because they're easy to praise. Like, so I think they should kind of raise that at least 17 or 18.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think
at least they have the cop on then to kind of go, well, like, fuck off.
or if you are going to train like teenagers, there should be some sort of like regulations in place where you've got to be like checked, kind of like a DBS.
We have over here the guard of vetting.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's what they're trying to bring in now over here, especially like they're after getting like OTT or after bringing more people onto the board. Mm-hmm. Like some of the wrestlers and female, like Session Bot and Katie Harvey, are going to be on the board as well. So they're going to meet once a month.
Yeah, I think, is it Vicky Askins who's now got a prominent job in Progress as well? So,
it's females there as well. Like, mm-hmm. I like women's wrestling. Like, I know Matt doesn't. He hates it, but I like it. I like watching Stardom and stuff like that. And, like, the women's wrestling, they had OTT put on two all-women shows, and they're good. Like, they're wrestlers.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be male and female. They're wrestlers. Like, they put the same work in. It's just that there's arseholes that ruin it for everyone else, like, pretty much.
Yeah, I totally agree. So let's come away from wrestling for a minute. Outside of wrestling, what other kind of entertainment do you enjoy?
Gaming, pretty much. That's it. That's all I do.
Yeah, you've recently set up a little gaming team and a YouTube channel. Tell us about that.
Team Zoom Zoom. Yeah, we're just me and two mates, two Liverpoolians. So we might have to get subtitles for YouTube.
I'd hate to see what the automatically generated subtitles are.
They don't like me ripping the piss out of their accent because they don't think it sounds, but I just like doing it because it annoys them. No, it's just, we just start gaming with each other. We've known each other through e-fedding and stuff. And then we just start gaming through the lockdown, and we said, well, we're doing it most nights, so why don't we just record it and just have a laugh? Like,
and how is it going? How are you finding it? Are you getting a lot of interaction again? A lot of
We'd love more interaction, more viewers. Like, we get people viewing obviously when it's up recorded and stuff, but no live viewers. I'd like to get more people watching the live so we can have a chat and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, now at the moment, it's like either one of my kids watching and talking to me, or these misses talking to us. Like, but more interaction is great. But we're not doing it to kind of get big, just doing it just for fun. Like, Lee is an artist as well, so he did the logo and all that kind of stuff. So we were kind of blessed with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to start doing it for fun, because if you go into things like that with the mindset that you're going to be huge, you're always going to disappoint yourself and fail. But if you go in with it thinking this is just going to be a laugh, and if it goes somewhere, you've more chance of it being successful.
That's it. Like, that's what we went in. So, will we talk the same stuff we talk when we're not recording? So, why not just record it? Like, stick it on live, and we just set up through the PlayStations. And, like, as I said, we play Call of Duty and Warzone. And we're going mad into Destiny 2. We've done 5 streams on Destiny 2 now. So, that's kind of where we're kind of heading at the moment.
Yeah, lad. There'll be a link in the description to the Team Zoom channel for anyone who wants to go and check it out.
Funny thing is, we found out that on Twitter we are trying to obviously have Team Zoom, but there's actually a Canadian Paralympic team called Team Zoom was wheelchair basketball or something. So
wow.
So we had to have Team Zoom 1. We couldn't really tell them to cease and desist because that'd be a bit insensitive.
Yeah, we want the name. So you're one of the team over at Five Nerds Go, which is a bit of a misnomer because I think there's about 11 of you. Now, that didn't really start as a podcast. That started as Ethan. And how did you get involved with the guys over at Five Nerds? What was the genesis of your friendship with them, and how did that lead into recording a podcast with them?
Well, we were on, most of us are on, there was an EFED called 6WF, which most of them are on. And then when I started in the civil service, I used to be bored at my desk, so I kind of found this on the old BBC 606.
Okay.
So I kind of started reading the stories and I was like, I wasn't into wrestling, but I was into creative writing and stuff. So there was another fed that started 6CW, which was going to rival this other one. So I said, I'll jump on that one then. So that's when I started on that. And then they kind of merged down the line and just got to know the lads through there, and then that kind of went belly up around 20 times and it reopened, and then Paul McCarthy contacted me and said, do you want to start doing podcasts with them? Which was a different, there was a whole different lineup back then. I think only Paul and Matt are the only ones from the start, and then Tolly came along and me, and then Marky, and then there's a few others like in the background that don't do the podcast and but do other stuff. So that's how we started, and it was supposed to be wrestling and other nerdy stuff. That's why it's Five Nerds Go, but it just turned into a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, and it's hard to describe what Five Nerds is. I mean, I've been on the show a few times now, and I couldn't really pin down what the show is actually about.
Starts off grand. We have what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about this, 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 and this. And then someone mentions something, and then the whole thing goes out the window.
Yeah.
And we focus on this one thing. It could be anything, like fucking Tesco's. We just focus on that. And then that's it. It just goes on tangents all over the place.
Yeah. I remember when I was thinking of starting a podcast, and I mentioned it to a group I was in, and Paul was in the group, and he said, oh yeah, we've got a podcast called Five Nerds. And he said, oh, it'd be good if you give it a listen. So I listened and I'm like, what the fuck is that? What are these guys talking about? So I was back on with Paul. I said, did you say it was a wrestling podcast? Because I don't think you even mentioned wrestling once. And yeah, it's turned out to be one of the best podcasts that I listen to, because it's just hilarious. The best thing for me about a podcast is when you can tell that the people recording it are having fun. And you guys are just, you're mental. There's no no way to describe you. There's no kind of like taboo with you guys. You talk about absolutely anything.
Sure. The horrible dog bothering episode that we thought we were on the ground zero of this breaking news story. And it just turned out to be totally false. We did the whole show around this fucking referee touching dogs.
Yeah, and I think
it's Matt's finds this stuff on the internet or on Twitter. He's always on Twitter. So he just points these things and he just mentions them, and then the seed is there and then it just grows.
It's I think the best episode for me is when Paul Mac has to steer the conversation and kind of like keep the show on an even keel, and you guys just totally ignore him and just go off on one.
I think from the start, when we first started, very kind of, I think the first ones were about WrestleMania. They were doing a WrestleMania review over two shows or something.
Yeah.
I wasn't on it. I was listening to it. And then I was on one, and then I got a bit looser. But Paul was like, oh, we have to edit it. And he was taking out chunks here. I said, don't take anything out. Like, it's funny. Oh, no, but we have to, just in case someone hears it, because he's in the British government as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't be. That's why he's kind of doesn't comment on certain things, or he gives out to us if we kind of steer it in certain directions. But it's great when he's on, because he kind of becomes the host.
Yeah. But just de facto host, yeah.
We just go after him. That's great fun, because I love hearing him sweat.
Yeah, and you're also infamous for your quizzes. I've been involved in quite a few Five Nerds quizzes, and I've been screwed out of a lot of them.
McCarthy, the next answer is more 20 points. You could be on 19 ahead, and then the other team win. Like, it's, yeah. It's.
I was on one a few weeks ago, and Tolly left the call to go and Google the answer, then came back on the call and got the point. This is just not fair. I think I've never won a quiz on that show, and I think I've been on about 8 times.
Me and Matt are still the team champions, the retardy boys, because we haven't had Pop Pete on in a long time, and it's usually Pete and Tolly.
It was on a few weeks ago, the one that I recorded with him and Tolly tagging up and cheating, and I think they ended up winning.
Superman Hunch.
Mm-hmm.
Their love of Roman Reigns for some reason.
So if you were to explain Five Nerds Go to someone who's never heard it, how would you explain it?
Jesus, I don't know.
You're on
the trail ride in the abyss of the sordid weird minds of between 4 to 6 people at one go. It depends who we get on. Like, some shows to be nice and mellow, and then other shows can be just chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they certainly can. I mean, some of the things I've heard on that show, the story of the Green Cup, that's just
Matt. He's just a weirdo.
He's the picture of the Visser in a bath of milk.
Yeah, you really go down the rabbit hole. Like, it's like going on YouTube when you're drunk, and then you click on a thing, and then you click on the next one, and then you're just 6 hours later, you're looking at like an alien autopsies in Germany or something like that.
The story of him bothering with the croissants was
hilarious.
No, but it's one of my favourite podcasts because of that, because of you put it on and it could be a totally different show to the one that you listened to the week before. That's if you record weekly, so that you've really kind of dropped off the ball in terms of recording. I think you record like once a month.
Yeah, I'd say now, because everyone's kind of gone back to normal, we'd be kind of back more regular. As I said, it's like this morning or something when they get rid of the main cast and then the stand-ins come in for a while.
But and then Piers Morgan comes back.
Yeah. We'll be back, hopefully, tomorrow.
Yeah, well, tomorrow, 6 weeks ago.
Tomorrow when this comes out. But that's if it comes out of the vault, because I think last week's show's case has gone stuck into the vault. The infamous vault where we have shows that never aired for one reason or the other.
It's hard to kind of imagine what happens on a show for it to not get released, because you've been kind of no filters.
We kind of stop, and then the next day we're kind of messaging each other and then going, we can't put that out.
that day after remorse.
It's usually Tolly going, we can't. We just can't. And then we go, all right then. But then other times, just no one's there to edit, so it just kind of disappears. But I say we have a good 8 or 10 shows that never made it, but some of them, I say, were just off the wall, talking complete shite.
You should do that Christmas cracker episodes where they just you just release all the unreleased episodes of Christmas.
It's the Kraken. They mightn't exist anymore, but that's we were supposed to do one Christmas. I think someone was going to splice parts together and make a Christmas thing, but no one has that time to go through.
They're all just can't be arsed.
Yeah, that's it. That's our problem. A lot of us are like, oh well, yeah, I'll be on, but then something better comes along. It's like, I can't be on tonight. Or moving house for the last 3 years.
Yeah, just the when same I moved
into apartment. Oh yeah, when are you moving in? Moved in like 2 years ago.
Well, it's been great having you on the show. Love getting your story. Tell the Wild Watch listeners where they can find you on Twitter, where they can find Five Nerds Go, the podcast, the YouTube channel, Team Zoom 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 1.
Well, Team Zoom Zoom YouTube is just Team Zoom Zoom. Team Zoom Zoom 1 is our YouTube, our Twitter handle. And then you can find me on at Five Nerds Go or at Declan Kenny if you want to be friends with me.
There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't. The guy, you're hilarious, absolutely hilarious. I love being on the podcast, even when I get screwed out of the quiz. It's just a great time.
It is. It should follow everyone on Five Nerds, even the ones that don't show up.
even that Pete Five Nerds, I think, is his Twitter handle is.
Yeah, that's if you don't even know. Pete's missing again. Is he alive?
He's still looking for some fennel.
Fennelgate. That was one of the funniest shows.
Yeah, brilliant. yeah, thank you for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
A long time coming. Paul was meant to have organised this about a year ago, but you can't trust him to do any jobs.
Sure, he can't even do an outro properly, for God's sake.
Saying that, watch me botch this one right now. So, you can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. Follow this show at Why We Watch Pod. Go and give Deck and the Five Nerds team a follow. Go and listen to their content, and definitely go and check out Team Zoom Zoom on YouTube. Go and have a chat with him, and yeah, he's a great guy to chat with. You'll see many of how many threads do we get where we just go absolutely off on mad tangents? So yeah, it's always a fun time with Five Nerds. One last thank you to Deck for being a great guest. I really do appreciate it, and that is the end.
Goodbye.
I'm going to leave that goodbye in.
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.